Time for the Lunchtime Falcons Report, and obviously another week and another unfortunate conversation about a team that just can't seem to find a way to win a football game. What do you think the message is right now? If you're Dan Quinn, and he hasn't lost the team, so for anybody who's saying that, that's not true. Dan Quinn has not lost this football team.
No.
But what's the message? How is he delivering his message?
The message just has to be head down and look at this week. I think if you get caught up in what's happened in the first 6 weeks of the season, then you get overwhelmed with what the hell's going on with us. I think that the biggest thing this team has to do is just keep its head down, go to work this week, get ready for a Ram team that's having its own problems. Mm-hmm. Making some significant changes with their personnel. We just talked about that, and Mike talked about it in the update there. So I think that's the only thing you can do. Unfortunately, I'd like to say that I've never had to be through this, but I've actually lived through this a few times.
Me and you both.
Where you have to maintain focus on what's right now, because if you look big picture, then it becomes a little bit daunting, and it maybe overwhelms you.
Dave, what has – because, I mean, the focus of all our show, everybody's show, has been on the defense pretty much. We've seen Matt Ryan in the office. They've got it going a little bit the last two weeks. What positive has it been about this defense? Outside of the way Grady's playing, because he's playing lights out. Outside of Grady, what has been some positives about this defense?
Well, I think there's some moments in games that I look to. I look at the Indianapolis game where you got down, 20-7, and the defense got two or three consecutive stops in the second half and gave you an opportunity offensively to get back in it. The same thing happened in this game,
right?
Where you got down 27-10, you gave up that opening drive in the second half, and you thought, wow, we're just not going to have enough time. We're not going to have time to get back in the game. And then all of a sudden the defense gets three consecutive stops, and you look up and it's 27-27. Mm-hmm. You think, you know what? We're going to come back and win the game. And so you see moments when they can get it done. The area that really bothers me the most is their inability to get off the field on third down. I think if you go back and you really boil down the games and look at the games, there's really some pretty good stuff there, pressure in the quarterback. They're not getting him on the ground, but they're throwaways, forcing you into second and 10, third and 8. There were a number of those moments in the game this last weekend against Arizona, and then they don't get off the field. They drop a coverage, blow a coverage. All of a sudden, a guy's running free with the ball for a 20, 30-yard play. And so as much as we're looking at it in a big picture scenario, and yeah, the numbers look horrible, you can't do anything defensively, there is a little bit more there to it if you boil it down. So how can you find a way to win those moments? Because, Randy, you and I know this today's NFL is about red zone moments and about third down moments.
Right.
And if you can win those moments, because you may be really crappy all the way down the field till you get to the red zone, if you can get a stop and force a field goal, that's a win, right?
Yeah.
And so those are the things that I look for and try to grasp onto. And in those two games, you saw it. And why can't you be more consistent doing that? That's the part that Quinn's banging his head against the wall about, is why are my guys so inconsistent with their play?
Dave Archer joining us in studio for the Lunchtime Falcons Report, talking some Falcons. And again, back to what you just mentioned, coming back from down 27-10 is not something that a team does that has given up on their coach.
Right.
You don't come back in games when you've quit. But I also don't know the difference between, like when I'm watching it with just my eyes, the difference between a team who's not playing well and a team that is not playing for their coach. Because a lot of people want to say that. Like, what would be something that you would actually see if a team had given up on their
coach?
Well,
you make a good point. Randy and I both have probably experienced this, both good and bad, in this scenario where I have seen it here with a couple of teams. The Bobby Petrino team, you could tell that the guys in the locker room despised him.
Right.
And really didn't like the staff either, save Mike Zimmer, who was the offensive coordinator. Didn't like Hugh Jackson. They did not want to be in that environment. You could sense some of that beginning to happen a little bit in the end of the Dan Reeves era, when Dan Reeves was dismissed with about three games to go, and we went in a different direction there. So I've experienced it from a broadcaster perspective. And then from a team perspective, I don't ever remember guys quitting on coaches, but you could see that it had gotten stale in the locker room, Randy.
Right.
You knew it just felt like, oh, here we're going to do the same thing again this week, and here you go. I've been around this team, and I don't sense that. I think Matt Bosher was in studio with Dukes and Bell yesterday. I think he echoed that as well. These guys love this guy. And I'm thinking, well, if you love the guy, you need to go play better.
Correct.
For him, because the ire of maybe the city and everybody else is starting to point at him a little bit. So that's what I look for, Andy, is do you see a staleness, or do you see a bunch of guys that are kind of, you know, space focus, where you're supposed to be looking at this and you're over here looking at this? I don't see that with this team.
Matt Ryan's been playing well. Outside of not turning the ball over, what has been the key for him?
I think that, you know, we saw with Matt when we changed coordinators. We went from Dirk and we went to Kyle. There was a stretch there where maybe they didn't blend. And if they blended some in 15, but 16 it really got going.
Right.
And then you get to shift the gears. Kyle takes the job in San Francisco. Here comes Steve Sarkisian. And you saw a little bit of the same thing in that year when he first had him. And then it began to blend again last year, and they started getting it going again. I think this is a little bit of that in the fact that I think – but these guys know each other better. So now instead of it taking a season, it may have taken three or four games
right.
to click. Mm-hmm. But I think the emergence of Austin Hooper has been monstrous because it's become – a scenario where you got to pick your poison now if they're going to protect. And that's the one part of Atlanta's offense that tends to bog them down is their lack of protection from time to time. You know, obviously the run game's part of it, but protection. But who are you going to pick to cover? And with his emergence now in the middle of the field with Sanu, now all of a sudden you've got horizontally really a tough matchup across the board. I think that's helped as well.
Big news came down last night that the Rams made a trade to acquire Jalen Ramsey. Falcons are going to have a chance to see Jalen Ramsey in his first game this weekend as a member of the Rams. How does that change this game? How does that impact this game, this offensive game plan for the Falcons, if at all?
Well, I don't think it'll impact Atlanta's side of the ball other than the fact that Ramsey, will he shadow Julio Jones? Is he ready to do something like that? This guy's been standing on the sideline.
Right.
He's been injured. At least that's his description of what he's been
saying.
That back feels good now, doesn't it? Getting ready to get paid by the Rams. I don't know how much the money the Rams are going to have left with Aaron Donald's, all that kind of stuff. But that's neither here nor there. What it does do is you put a guy back on the field that hasn't been playing. So is there a degree of him getting back up to speed? And getting back up to speed against Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley is not the definition of me wanting to get back up to speed. Now, this guy's got some bravado to him. There's no question about that. Does that play into the Falcons' benefit as well? He wants to make a statement in this game. Do you jump a double move and get beat over the top? Are you going to play your technique properly? Are you going to try to make a splash and get beat? Those are some things that I think come into equations for the Rams, not necessarily the Falcons.
But the thing with the Rams and their defense, I mean, as great as Jalen is, if you can find a way to corral or put your hands on 99, you got a chance to do some things.
Now, they haven't been very good against the run. Right?
Yeah. Last year, too.
Yeah, another one of those deals where you look at the Rams and you think, wow, this is a loaded defense with Dante Fowler and all the guys and Aaron Donald and these guys up front. But they have struggled to stop the run game. They're more of a pass rush pass rush team. And we talked about this last week. That was a team kind of fashioned themselves as a pass rush team, and you got after them with the run game a little bit. And not great, but you got some mileage out of it, and that slows down a pass rush as well. I would anticipate them doing some of that too.
What does it look like if Todd Gurley doesn't go for the Rams this weekend? Obviously, he makes that offense a lot different. Can they function the way that they want to function without Todd Gurley?
Well, I think that's something they're going to have to figure out. Sean McVay has now been without him a lot, you know, including the Super Bowl. He just hasn't been a factor for him. And remember, in that Super Bowl game, and give New England a ton of credit, they didn't do much on offense in that game either.
Right.
So this has been a team that doesn't look like the team we saw halfway through last season offensively. So he's a big factor for him. There's no question about it. He's not just a runner. He's a pass receiver, too, as well. You know, he's really good out of the backfield catching the ball. He made a couple plays against Atlanta in the playoff game. But for the most part, Atlanta's done a pretty good job against him. Atlanta's done a pretty good job against his offense in the past. But that was in the past. This is a different animal we're dealing with now.
Yeah, because I think that when the people talk about the Rams, they always talk about, 11 personnel, they like to throw it all around the yard. That's not their identity. They want to run the football out of that formation, play action pass off of that. And when I look at them offensively, and I go back to what the Falcons did against Arizona as far as the corners and everything. Now, True might be out again, so you might have those three young guys out there again. What was your impression of Sheffield last week? I thought he played pretty well.
I thought Kendall Sheffield played really nice. I thought he did a nice job of coming up. He's confident enough to come up and hug up in coverage, which I think you're going to need to do because I think is a defensive philosophy real quick, and I know you guys got to catch a break here, but the defensive philosophy, and I asked Q about this a little bit in the coaches show, and he kind of steered around a little bit, but are you going to have to change kind of your philosophy because they've had success in a couple games where they've decided to come with 5 and 6 man pressures and played man. Now, it makes you vulnerable to the big play, but it also has allowed them to speed up the process, the quarterback. This guy this weekend isn't going anywhere.
Right.
You've had three guys the last 3 weeks that can move around. this guy's not going anywhere. Goff's going to be standing right in the pocket, so you can go get him.
Just from a football fan standpoint, because you're a fan of the games just as much as an analyst, when you're getting ready to go to this game on Sunday and you're driving to the stadium or whatever it is, what are you thinking of that you're excited about to watch that the Falcons do? Just as a fan. Like, I can't wait to get to the stadium and see X.
Well, there's no question that the first thing that comes to mind is the offense and the skill position players on the offensive side of the ball. I think that I hold out optimism that at some point the defense, which has a lot of talent on it, Deion Jones and the different guys that are on that defense, you hope that they sometime, at some point, catch fire. But it's about the offense. Mm-hmm. It's about the Falcon offense. And this could be one of those games, one of those classic games, and you look up, it's 45-42. And hopefully Atlanta's sitting at 45.
It kind of feels like that, doesn't it? It kind of feels like Sunday might be one of those types of games. The over-under is 54.5, by the way,
okay,
if that's something that you're interested in. Dave, we appreciate it.
Appreciate it.
Always great to be with you guys.
Great stuff as always.